Guest speaker today, Jeff Barnhart. He's an incredible guy. He's a longtime member of our church. He has quite the story, actually. A very rough upbringing, full of abuse, addiction, different things, and had a radical transformation. And I went to Africa with him in June, and I really got to see him in action. You know, I've seen him here, and he's great on a Sunday morning, but I got to see him in a prison, just kind of stand up in front of a few hundred, hardened criminals, and just start preaching the gospel and praying for the sick. I saw him at a hospital, right in the courtyard. There was no speakers, there was no stage. He just kind of went there and started being like, all right, I'm preaching, everybody. Come listen. And he absolutely rocks it, just off the cuff so often. And what's interesting about Jeff, a lot of struggles through his life, but he's also visually impaired, and so you'll notice he doesn't have a lot of notes because he can't read them, and so he does this all from memory. And he's actually an author, and he's a successful entrepreneur, an author. He's got 3 books now, and I just think he's quite an inspirational guy, and other people see that too because he has been going all over ministering and doing public speaking and motivational speaking. So I think we're pretty lucky to have him, don't you think? And I wonder if we can do what we did last week for him, for Pastor Joel, which was the slow, fast clap, where you start off the slow clap and you end off with a really fast clap, and that, makes the person feel really good to get them excited. So can we do that, church? Is that all right? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Barnhart.
I love the second service because all my African brothers and sisters are here. So you guys all tried to start on the offbeat and the same beat, and it's kind of, I'm what they call color on the inside because I always clap on the offbeat. In Africa, I fit right in. Anyway, good morning, church. I have to tell you, I'm super excited to be home. There's nowhere that's better than here for me. And I have to tell you, it's been an exciting time and an exciting season to be a part of Harvest City Church. I really believe that the church itself is walking in a season of harvest. Would you agree with me? If we look at that right now, we have 2 weekends ago, I was privileged enough to go with Diane Harrison to Edmonton and minister with her. I got to carry her Bible while she did her prophetic ministry. Which was awesome. Last week, Glenn Pagayo and I were in Lethbridge, and we were ministering there. If you don't know who Glenn is, I always tell the single ladies that he's the good-looking guy with the muscles. So, but anyway, what we did on Saturday night, we ministered to their senior youth. Sunday morning, we took the Sunday morning service, and it was awesome. It was packed out. There was people standing. And glory to God for that. And then after that, we did their national TV show. And then in the afternoon, Glenn taught their youth, and we ministered to their young adults. And in the evening, we did a citywide service, which again had a great turnout. And I'll have to say this, the power of the Holy Spirit that poured out that night was actually the most profound that I've been personally involved in Canada. We saw many signs, wonders, and miracles. So it was incredible, actually, to be a part of that. And then we also have Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave's over and ministering to the body of Christ in Europe. We have Tim Harrison. I don't know if you guys know him, but Tim Harrison's the son of this house, and he's actually in Panama with Cities for Christ, and he's actually taking the word to thousands and thousands of people all over that country. And then obviously we have our pastor, Joel Wells, who's in Uganda, probably seeing signs, wonders, and miracles as we speak. And I'm kind of conflicted because this is the first trip I haven't gone with him on, and it's hard to be here knowing that my brother's over there at war, right? So having said that, I want to pray for all these people, but I want to honor the people who have been in this house for some time. I want to honor you if you were here in Shepherd Street and you were part of sowing seeds that caused us to be in the harvest that we're in today. There are people who have been here for years. You've been sowing, you've been watering, you've been taking care of the church, and now we're able to walk in this season of fruitfulness because of your faithfulness. Thank you. Amen. So we're going to open with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in Harvest City Church. We thank you, God. We understand it's not about us. It's about you. And it's about what you're doing around the world and the nations. Father, thank you for the mandate you have given this church for Judea, which is the city of Regina, for Samaria, which is the nation of Canada, and to the ends of the earth. which is the nations of the world. We thank you for that. Father, we pray for Pastor Dave, even as he's wrapping up his trip and he's traveling home. Would you strengthen him? Would you give him wisdom to finish well, finish strong, and to come home feeling refreshed? Father, we lift up Tim Harrison as he's ministering in Panama. And God, we ask you to move in power to win that nation for Christ in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. We declare healing over him now. And Lord, we lift up Pastor Joel. I thank you, Father, that they're not even halfway through the trip, but you are causing all things to work together for good, that the latter part of that trip will be greater than the former, and we will see and hear great testimonies of the power of God that moved while he was there. God, I invite you to come and manifest your presence here today. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just pour your heart out onto these people, Lord, that it would not just be Jeff Barnhart speaking, but really that I would just be a mouthpiece for you, Father, because really you're the one that we need to hear from. So we thank you for this. We release you into this service. We bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody who agreed said, amen. Amen. It's an exciting day. It's an exciting time. You know, I want to start off with some exciting news that I have a new book that is available. It's actually online. It's called Testify. Now, this is a pre-order. You can't go in the back. I know last service, Julie was, what's going on? We don't have it. So it's on order for, it's online for pre-order. It'll be released November 1st. It's on a special price right now, 99 cents. If you want that, please go online and order it. That is actually, it's book one of a three-book series that I'm writing just about different things that God is doing around the world. That one, the first book is about Africa. The cool part about that is that there's people in this room, like Derek. He mentioned the story about the hospital. We saw an incredible miracle at the hospital that day, many of them, but one specifically that we write about in the book. People that you know are actually in that book, which is awesome. What we are doing now, people are reading around the world. Amen? So the other thing that I do have here today is I have my two books at the back for sale. The first one is Destined to Be, 9 Keys to Live a Life of Purpose While Unlocking Your Full Potential. Who wants to live a life of full potential? Everybody, right? But the reality is, this is a story that I've written about my testimony interlaced with the timing and the seasons of God to bring the purpose of God to your life. This is a great gift for a young person, but it's also a great gift for anybody who wants to live a life that is fulfilled in Christ. So you might be 30, 40, 50, 60, it doesn't matter. It's a great book for you. The other book that I have is God of Miracles, Ordinary People, Extraordinary Stories. This book was released in December last year. We're now just over 9 months in. Over 40,000 copies have been sold, almost at this point. It's the number one best-selling book. And Joel reminds me on a daily basis, it's because he wrote the foreword. So, but basically, this is actually a story about my skepticism, how I used to stand in prayer lines on the altar at the front of a church and see people get, you know, in this, you know, big toes healed or maybe stomach pains or whatever, and I'd always be questioning, is that real? But it's just a journey that God took me through from skepticism to full faith, to see blind eyes open, deaf ears open, and end of each chapter is an insight and a prayer that'll help you to believe God for the own miracles in your own life. Anybody here believing for a miracle? Amen. So what I'm going to do, I've been informed by Anna, it's Jeff 1.0, I'm Jeff 2.0. I'm going to have him come and give these two books away. If you would like one of these books, just get his attention. We're happy to do that. Amen? Okay. Now, after that commercial message, we're going to get into the message today. And you know what? Actually, last week in Lethbridge, I had to prepare two messages, and it was hard. It's really hard to prepare one, but to prepare two was really hard. So my plan was, I was going to take the morning message, right, and I was going to preach it here. And I had it all worked out, and it was great. And then I began to pray and ask God. That's a dangerous thing to do sometimes. And he said, no, I have a word for the church. And so that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to pray, I'm going to preach what God has put on my heart for this church. And it's a word for this church that I believe is in season for this time, amen? So what we're going to do is we're going to start at the very beginning. It's always a good place to start. In the book of Genesis, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Genesis chapter 1. If you don't know where that is, it's the first chapter in the first book of the Bible. All you got to do is crack it open. And here what we have, we have the God of the universe creating the universe. And so we have God the Father, who is a master architect. And then we have a master builder, which is his son Jesus. All things were created through him, and without him nothing was created. Amen? Then we have these two that have a master plan for the universe that they are actually going to be fulfilled to the power of the Holy Spirit. I love the song this morning where it says he was hovering on the waters, right? So we have this situation where God has the plan, he has the builder, and they're going to go forward and they're going to create the entire universe. So I'm going to have the very voice of God read this for you today. And we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 11. Now, I know you have verse 14. The reason I have God starting in verse 11 is because I want to give you context to the scripture, but I'm going to have one up on there because I want you to focus on that particular one. Amen? All right, go ahead.
Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars.
Amen. So it was good. Right? So we have God, and here he is, and he's creating the entire universe. He's formed the earth, and now he's put the earth into orbit, and he's spun it, and we have everything that's kind of gone into motion, right? We have the solar system, the galaxies, and the universe, and everything happens. But it's interesting in verse 14 what it says, he put the moon, he hung the moon and the stars, didn't we sing that this morning, church? And he said, so they would know the sign of the season. Say season. So that tells me that the season has to be pretty important in order for him to highlight it in this manner. So what we need to understand, first of all, there are natural seasons, right? We have the spring season, we have the summer season, we have the fall season, and we have the winter season. The question I want to ask you, church, is what season are you in? Now, why is that so important to know what season you're in? Well, you have to understand the sign so they understand the season. Because if you understand the season is going to let you know what to do and when to do it. How many people want to know what to do and when to do it? I think everybody, right? Because if you look at this, the spring season is the time to sow. Optimism, you know, opportunity are abounding. The summer season is the season to water, to tend. Then we have the autumn season, which is the harvest season. And then we have the winter season, which is my least favorite, by the way. I don't like the cold. But the winter season, a lot of people think it's to hibernate, but I'm going to tell you it's actually to reflect and to sharpen the tools for the next season. What season are you in? And why that's so important to understand that is because it would be ridiculous if you were trying to harvest in spring. What if you were trying to sow in the wintertime? How would that work out for you? What if you were trying to water during harvest? You'd ruin the crop. You see, when I first got saved, Derek talked about this. I had a really dramatic conversion where God met me, and then, you know, a lot of things were broken off my life. And I got saved, and I was excited because I knew that God was real. And what happened at that point, people began to identify some things in my life, and they began to speak words over me. They began to release prophetic words. And words like, "Hey, I think you're going to be preaching. I think you're going to be a part of the fivefold gospel ministry. I think you're going to be a part of taking the gospel around the world." And to me, saved 6 months as a young Christian young man, guess what? I was excited. I was like, yeah, that is awesome. So you know what I did? I stepped out and I tried to harvest it. Right? I'm like, hey, that sounds good to me. Hey, man, praise the Lord, brother. And I began to try to harvest in the wrong season. Here's the problem. What I heard was right. What am I doing today? I'm preaching. What I heard was right about bringing the gospel to different parts of the world. But the problem was there wasn't time for the word to mature and produce the harvest in the right season. So you have to understand what happened to me, because I was trying to do the wrong thing in the right thing in the wrong season, was I became disappointed. I got discouraged. I was looking around saying, but I thought you said this, but I thought that. And again, I believe that that's a word for people today. You have heard prophetic words over your life. You've heard God himself say something to you about a future season, and you tried to do it too early, and now you're in disappointment and discouragement. So the second question that I want to ask you today is, what season are you living in? Hold on, Jeff. You just asked me what season it is, right? No. Finding the season is good. It's good to know what season it is, but you also need to understand what season you're actually living in. So what we have here is we have a significant problem where people get stuck. One of the main things that I see is people are living in seasons of the past. You know the people I'm talking about. You're talking to them about, you know, what's going on and in your life and whatever. And then they start talking about, well, back in the renewal days, brother. You know, at Toronto Blessing, this is how we did it. At my old church. Right? And so what you have is you have somebody who's in a car and they're trying to drive it in the rearview mirror. How's that working for you? So you have people who are so busy looking at the past that they can't look at today and they can't see what's coming in front of them. Then you have people who get stuck in seasons of the past because of things that happened to them, like trauma. Maybe something happened to you, somebody said something to you, somebody did something to you. What was genuinely terrible and difficult, but now what it did is it makes you stuck in that season. What about discouragement? I talked about that. What about the disappointment? You're so busy looking back at the pain that you can't even reach out for the healing. Ouch. But see, then there's people here that said, well, that's not me, brother. I'm much more for looking for, you know, I'm good. Well, the problem is we have other people. You may not be living in a season in the past, but you have people who are living in the season in the future. Have you ever heard the saying that they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good? Right? So they say that, well, you know, one day Jesus is going to come back, glory, I can see the angels in heaven coming down. You know what I mean? All this kind of stuff. And the reality is, it's like you're walking with a pair of binoculars. Should I walk near the... Probably not a good idea, right? So we have a situation where you're living in a dream world. Wishful thinkers. But the reality is you're not able to be effective in the season that you're in because you're too busy hoping for tomorrow. See, in my family, we have four kids. Four kids is a lot of kids, I'll tell you that much. So, you know, we have a gap between our kids. The first two, you know, we went through it, and you kind of just have to do life because you're learning, right? But the next two, we knew some things. Right? And so we're like, okay, well, we have a baby, but we know that, you know, around 2 years old, the baby's going to start sleeping through the night because we're exhausted. Okay, then we're like, okay, we can make it then. When this happens, we're going to be okay. So the baby, our son didn't sleep till 3. That was terrible. But then we're like, you know what? Oh, now he's home during the day. We're going to do, we have to do something different because we want to work and do these things. But so we started to always look forward to when he goes to school, when they go to high school, when they go to university, and then all of a sudden they're gone from your life. And guess what happens? You're looking back to past seasons, wishing that they were still that 3-year-old kid that was keeping you up in the night. Do you see the trick here, church? The enemy wants to get you looking at a different season because he understands something. If you can live in your present season, you can bring the kingdom of God to earth. See, the present of the present is a present to be in the present. Did you follow me with that? See, we had Moses. Moses was at the burning bush, okay? And he's getting called into his ministry, and he was 80 years old. Right? And then I want to say something right here about life spans, your lifetime. We have a span of time. See, God is an omnipotent, omnipresent, right? So he's all powerful and he's everywhere at once, right? And so we have this amazing God who's huge and everywhere. He doesn't exist in the confines of time. But then we see what he does is he takes his creation and he puts it in the confines of time. So he doesn't have a beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, right? But we have a beginning. We actually have a lifetime. In that lifetime, we go through different stages. And I talked about my little ones, right? So we come into this world as a baby, and then we grow up to the next stage, which is a toddler. And then we go to the adolescence, and that's where my wife said I got stuck. But anyway, then we go to the next stage, which is the teenage years. Then we go into young adulthood. Then we go into adulthood. And then we become seniors, and then we die. And that's the lifespan. And so what we have here is we have Moses, who's in his senior years, 80 years old, and he's talking to God at the burning bush, and he says, God, so you're sending me, but what do I say if they ask me who sent me? And what does he say? Tell them that I am. I am that I am. I was the God that was, I'm the God that is, and I'm a God still to come. So what I believe is happening here is God is trying to teach us something about being in the present. Because if you can be present in the present, then you're able to bring glory to God in that season of your life. Do you hear what I'm saying to you, church? So you might be the mom and you have a kid on this hip and you're washing dishes on this side and you're running here and running there with your head cut off. But the reality is what God wants us to do is to be present in that moment, to enjoy the season, to bring the glory to God, to bring heaven to earth. But the problem is we cannot be present in the present. We have an issue with that because it's sometimes more difficult to do so. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you, church?
Yes.
So we have God. We said, okay, Jeff, here we go. I understand. I have to know what season it is. I have to make sure I'm living in the right season. I have to be present in the present, and I want to do what God wants me to do, but how do I do that? Do you want to know? Can I share with you the revelation that I got at 6 a.m. this morning? You know, when the more that I read the Bible, the less I understand that I know. And the reality is I'm thinking here, okay, God, we have seasons, and we have time. So you took the earth, you put it, you spun it, and then, okay, we go around, and we're measuring time here, and we know that one full rotation of the planet is two rotations around the face of a clock. That gives us one day, right? But then we take the planet, and the planet goes around the sun, and then that we know that once the planet spins and it goes around the sun, and it comes one full cycle, that is 1 year. So my question to God was, I was struggling, I was mind-bending with quantum physics and quantum theory and string theory and, I can't sleep. So I said to God, I said, does time exist inside of seasons or does seasons exist inside of time? Do you want to know the answer? Both. And it's like this, as Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. So my question that I had for you, which came to me this morning, and that's why it's not on the PowerPoint, is what time is it? Because I think the Bible tells us that you were put here for such a time as this. Wouldn't it be great to know what time is it? You know, I was reminded when I was preparing this in our pool, we play a game. What time is it, Mr. Shark? And all you have to do is you ask, and then I tell them, and then I come and I eat you, and it's fun, right? But I think it's important that we not only understand the season, but we understand the time. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Gary, which doesn't he have a great voice? He really does. I'm going to get him to read the next scripture, which is from the book of Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 11, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He's planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end.
Man. Now, there's certain people of a certain vintage when he was reading that, you're like, every season, turn, turn. Remember that song? The old bird song? Anyway, I tried to get Gary to sing it. He wouldn't do it. Anyway. But so here we are. We understand from this scripture, you know, it's very simple, that there's a time for everything. If I was ever to preach a sermon series, I would actually go through verse by verse. There's a time to grieve and the time to laugh. Have you been grieving for a while? There's a time to speak and a time to be quiet. My wife loves that part, right? But there's a season and a time for everything. But the reality, what we have to understand, is this is not from the Hebrew word, which means chronological time. It's from the Hebrew word that means the time, which is a convergence of events together. For such a time as this. And there's a time and a season for everything. And everything will happen in its time. And he says that he will do this because everything will have its beauty in its time. And this one thing I wanted to talk about is you have a seed of a flower. You plant the flower. It's going to go from that seed. It's going to grow into a plant. And then there'll be a time that it will bloom. I felt specifically for you guys that there's some people who you feel like you've been in seed time for a long time, but God wants to give you a word. He says your season is coming that you are going to bloom and that you're going to see the beauty of what's inside of you. I believe that there's some ladies in this house that need to hear that word because this is going to be your time to bloom. But see, here's the thing. There's a time for everything. Time for hate, time for war, time, all these different things to tear down, build up. But how do you know what time is it? You want to know? It's in the last verse. So he says that he plants what in our heart? Eternity. So here's the thing that we have to understand. All back into Genesis where he's talking about the plants and the animals and everything. He says he put them on the earth and then he put a system in place so they would self-perpetuate themselves. So the timing for that was already set. You could almost tell when you plant a seed when it's going to come to fruition, right? So what happens, though, is we were not created like that. We were created by God's very own hands. And he says to us, we have an awareness that they do not have. We have an awareness that we were built for eternity. If you are here today and you don't know God, there's a God-shaped hole in your heart. And he says that he planted it there. He put it there. But here's the great news. If you're a believer and you've accepted Jesus into your life, it says that when we get saved, when we accept Jesus, Jesus comes and lives in our heart, right? And then what happens at that point is we get the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I want to submit this to you today that God, the Holy Spirit, in relationship, spending, how do you spell relationship? T-I-M-E. Time. By spending relationship with him, he's going to be able to give you the guidance that you need. See, here's the thing that the Bible tells us, that his word is a lamp unto our feet, right? That the man will make a plan, but the Lord will guide his footsteps. See, God wants to teach you something. When he went back and he was creating the entire universe, you saw that God is a master architect and a master builder, built it systematically one day at a time. And this is what he's trying to teach you, church. Don't miss this. That you are not supposed to be looking back. You're not supposed to be looking forward. You're supposed to be present in the present. Have you ever spent time with somebody and you're talking with them and they're not there? Right? Just like you guys right now. I'm talking to you and you're thinking about lunch. Some of you are like, oh, my wife made me come, but I wonder who's winning the water game right now, right? But you're not present. And this is the trick of the enemy. But see, the Lord wants to be the compass in your life. He wants to be in relationship with you. It's a back and forth. God, what do I do? Here's what you do. Here's how you bring glory to me today. See, here's the thing. Although we may exist in the confines of time, we're not restricted to our seasons. So there are people here today, you may be in high school, but it's a harvest season in your life because it's the right time for you. There's people here, you may be seniors, and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to retire. See, the world tries to trick you into that. You're going to work and toil. What does that say in verse 10? You're going to work and toil, and then one day you're going to get to retire. You come into your harvest season. Hallelujah. But you know what? You died 5 years before that happened. Who knows the days of our lives? It's only one. The Bible tells us the time and the seasons are in whose hands? Jesus's hands. That's it. So the reality is, you may be a senior, and it might be a time for you to sow into the next season. You may be in your mid-age, and it might be time for you to go and water somebody else's seed. You have to understand the time that you're living in. And the time and the seasons are only known by God. And the only way you're going to understand that is if you are in relationship with Him. Because what happens is it's a synergy that occurs, right? This is we talk about the synergy. 1 + 1 = 2. But when synergy happens, 1 + 1 = 1,000 or 10,000. And so if you are willing to go into partnership with God, He's going to use you in your circumstance, even though you might be working at a job you don't like right now. Maybe you're in a situation that's difficult for you, but He's going to use that situation if you're obeying Him to bring glory to God. And when you bring glory to God, guess what happens? You get to bring heaven to earth. Whoo! Be present in the present, right? So here we have the situation. We say, Jeff, hallelujah, that's a great message, brother. I get it. I need to know the season. I need to make sure I'm living in the right season. I need to be present because the present of the present is a present. And that's how we get the presents. And everything is good. So all I need to do is be obedient and obey God. And then He's going to give me the steps that I need to do. See, here's the situation. The steps that you need to do are going to take you places, right? The best way to go through what you're going through, one step at a time. One day at a time. I mean, if one day at a time was good enough to create the universe, do you think it's good enough for you to live your life? What does the Bible say? He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trials. Can I tell you something? Tomorrow never comes. Why worry about it? So here we have with situation, I get it, Jeff, I understand. So I'm just going to obey God and then we're good and everything in my life is going to be perfect. We need to talk about that. So I'm going to have Gary read the next scripture.
Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped.
That's a very famous portion of scripture. And here we have the situation, and give you a little bit of context here. This is just when Jesus was on the mountain, and they were feeding the 5,000, the loaves and fishes. And so we have an amazing miracle that just occurred. And then it says, immediately after that miracle happened, he told them to go the other side. And here's something in there for you, church. God does not want you to try to make a camp on the miracles of yesterday. He's going to send you out to the next place. He's going to call you to go to the next position. And so what we have is we said, okay, you go across to the other side, and Jesus goes up into the mountain to pray. And then so the scripture says that they go out, and they're on the lake, and then up came a storm. See, what happens is we need to understand, from going from one place to another place, that's a period of transition. Seasons aren't dials. They don't just change by themselves. You go from one season to the next season, you go through a period of transition. Are you in a transition right now? See, the thing about a transition is transitions are usually tumultuous and turbulent. Have you ever heard of a hurricane season? A tornado season? A cyclone season? A typhoon season? A monsoon season? Right? So what happens is these generally happen in between those four seasons that I was talking about. You have a battle that's occurring. You have the cold air and the warm air, and they're like, and you create this whole friction. So here we are. They're obeying God. So everything should have been great, right? They should have been on their way to the next season. Hey, glory to God, this happened here. Now we're going over there. This should be awesome. But storms come. Is there anybody here in a storm right now? You see, storms happen even when you're obeying God. I believe that there's people, you moved to Canada in obedience to God. And you know what? It has not been easy for you. It's not what you expected. God, you told me. There's people here, you have children, and you've been raising these children to the glory of God, and that they've turned away at one point in time, or there's situations. God, you said, raise them up in the way. Am I speaking to anybody right now? There's people in this place, you are stepped out, and you're saying, okay, God, I'm not doing what you asked me to do, and now I'm having financial trouble. I don't know what your storm is, but storms aren't fun. So here we have, the scripture says, they're out on the water, and they're straining at the oars, and they're rowing, and they're rowing. And it says, Jesus went up to the mountain to pray. And he says that he could see them straining. Where is Jesus right now? Jesus lives in our heart, yes. But the Bible also tells me that he's seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. I come with a word from God today that says he sees you in your struggle. He sees you in what you're going through. And here we have, they're straining at the doors, right? And then it says in the third watch of the night. Why did it say the third watch of the night? Time. There's a time for everything. A time to sow, tick. A time to reap, tuck. A time to throw stones, tick. A time to gather stones, tuck. The third watch of the night was actually the darkest hour of the night. It's the last hour before the morning. Well, here's the word that I have for you, church. The darkest hour comes before the light. I think that you need to understand the darkest hour comes right before your breakthrough. And here's the exciting news about this. Here we have Jesus, and he's watching them. He's seeing what is going on. And he's like, okay, my baby's in trouble. He gets up off the mountain and he comes down. And he comes down to the shore. And I love this part about this because here you have a boat in the middle of the lake. And you have these people who are struggling and they're in trouble. And the reality is in the natural, it looks like there's no way for Jesus to get there. But you need to understand something about Jesus. Jesus is the way maker. See, if he has to, it doesn't matter what you're going through, where you are in your storm, he will make a miracle happen as he steps out to get where you are and come to your rescue. I have a message for you today. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. You might be going through that storm and all hell might be breaking loose around you, but I have a message, church. Help is on the way. Jesus sees what you're going through and he's coming. See, here's what I love about this. You have Jesus, and he's walking on the water. He's making a way, and he's getting to where they're at. And then we have the situation with Peter. And he comes up, and he's there. And here's the part you have to understand about Jesus. Jesus, it says he came in the dawn. See, when Jesus shows up, it's breakthrough time. The Bible tells me that he's the bright and morning star. Ooh, God is light. He's going to illuminate your darkness, right? So here we have the disciples, and they're like, yeah, Jesus, is that you? Who else could it be? Okay, maybe a ghost, but who else could it be? Yeah, if that's you, tell me to come. And so here's the great thing that Peter understood something now. Peter understood about being in the present. So rather than just doing his own thing, he asked God, what should I do? He was present in the present. And so God says, he said, if it's you, tell me to come. And then Jesus said, yes, it's me, come. And what does Peter do? He gets up out of the boat. So when you hear God, sometimes, yeah, absolutely, you have to get up on the boat, and he steps out on the water. I want to tell you something. I don't think that Jesus was actually stepping on the water. I think he was stepping on the word of God that asked him to come. And here we have Jesus in the water, and then we have Peter stepping out to him one step at a time. But here's the problem when you're in a storm. It's really easy to lose your focus. You can be in the middle of obeying what God is calling you to do, and all hell is breaking loose, and Jesus is there to rescue you, and you're stepping out in obedience to what he's asking you to do in the storm, and you can lose your focus. You can get distracted by looking at your bank account. You can get distracted. Oh, my kids didn't come home last night till this time. You can get distracted and say, I didn't get that job. I have more training for this. I thought I could be doing this, or I thought I could be doing that. But what you're missing is, what time is it? So what happens? Jesus is up there. He's reaching, come, come. And then Peter steps out. He loses focus, and he begins to sink. I believe that there are people in the church right now. You've obeyed God, you've stepped out, but you lost your focus. And you're beginning to sink. But I believe the word from the Lord would say, don't let pride sink you. See, if you look at what Peter did, Peter was the apostle, which the entire church, right? Upon this rock, Peter, you're a rock. And I know the whole connections with Christ as the rock and all that. He could have been prideful, but what did he do? Save me! Save me! He cried out to Jesus in the middle of his storm, in the middle of his failure of losing focus, and he began to sink. And what does he do? He says, save me! And I love what it says. It says, Jesus watched him sink for a little while and flap around like a fish because it gave him some joy, and he was going to make him stronger doing that, right? Is that what your Bible says? No. Immediately. I'm not here to tell you that some people here today is your immediately. Today is your suddenly. Suddenly my situation's changing. Oh, I'm crying out to God, and immediately he met me in my time of need. So he says immediately, he pulls him up out, and then he leads him back onto the boat. And what happened on the boat? The storm calms, right? The wind slows down, you know, everything's calm and great, and they just automatically floated to the other side because they were in the presence of the Lord. Well, here's something I wanted to share with the service is that, you know, the reality is they were straining at the oars when Jesus came into the boat, everything calmed down. How did they get to the other side? They had to keep on going. How do you get from the situation that you're in to the situation that you want to be in? How do you get out of the situation? Again, what did I say? You're going through what you're going through, but the best way to go through what you're going through is to keep going, one step at a time. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep going, one step in front of the other. Right? You have to obey and listen to what God is saying. You need to know what season you're in. You need to be present in that season, and you need to step out and believe God, but don't stop. I'm going to ask you, look at your neighbor and say, don't stop. Are you with me, church? Okay, I'm going to ask Andrew to come up here. Now, here's the thing. I didn't just come here today to share a message and, you know, sound cute and all that kind of stuff. I believe that I've come with a word from the Lord in season. I believe there's a reason for this season. And I'm not talking about Christmas, church. I'm talking about the season that you're in. God is seasoning you. We're called to be the salt and light. See, Harvest City Church, I talked about this in the beginning, that we're in a season of harvest. And what does it say? When the harvesters are few, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send what? Laborers. We need you. So there's people in this place. You stepped out before and you said, Jeff, yeah, I did that. And I think that, you know what? It might have been doing the right thing in the wrong season, and you didn't get the results that you expected. But I'm here to tell you that your dream is not dead. The word that was spoken over your life is still accurate. It's just now becoming the time and the season for these things to be fulfilled. I'm going to get you to stand with me, church. I believe that there are people in this place that you've come here today and you don't know Jesus. You're saying, wow, God the creator, right, of everything. And here's what you have to understand. Like I said in the beginning, we have the master architect, we have the master builder, and we have the master plan. Well, just as much as God had a master plan for his creation, he has a master plan for your life. Jeremiah talks about this. He says, I have a plan for you to bless you, to prosper you, and not to harm you. So you're here, and you don't even, I believe there's somebody here today, and you're in the midst of this transition, and you don't know which way is left, which way is right. You're in the middle of a storm, and you're turned around. But I want to tell you, you're in the right place at the right time in the right season. And the reality is, you might be in that storm and you may not know which way you're going and you may be sinking, but all you need to do is say, save me, Jesus. Remember what I said. He had a master plan with the master builder. You see, Jesus exemplifies this. It says that Jesus went from the womb to the tomb. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. But here's the great part about that is he didn't stay dead. The tomb is empty. He rose again. He rose again to give eternal life. But not just say, okay, one day I can die and I can go to heaven. He has died and going to heaven is great, but he also wants to give you power to live for today. To be present in your present. And to live a life that is abundant. You see, the enemy in your life comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to bring life and life to the abundant. So all you need to do, if that's you and you say, you know what, Jeff, I need Jesus in my boat. I've been in turmoil for too long. I'm going to ask everybody just to close your eyes and bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if that's you, if you say, Jeff, that's me, I need Jesus in my life. I don't fully understand it. You don't have to fully understand it. It says you get to work out your salvation because he wants to spend time with you to build that relationship. If that's you, just slip your hand up. And it's going to be between you and God. But don't leave today the same way that you came. Thank you, Jesus. And you slip your hand up, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to say a quick prayer. Make my prayer your prayer. I know you're here. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And I say that I'm in the middle of a life storm. Things aren't easy. Things are difficult. I'm being battered, thrown, tossed to and fro. But I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. You went to the tomb and you rose again to bring life. Jesus, I want that life. I want to accept you as my Lord and my Savior right now. Bring peace, bring presence to my life. Oh, heal the hurts, Jesus. Heal the trauma. Set me free. Be the Lord. I want your master plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, I believe that a miracle has happened in your life. And I believe that the angels in heaven are rejoicing because your life is never going to be the same. But I'd like you to come forward and pray with me at the end, or we have a connections station at the back. Tell them what you did. Tell them you accepted Jesus, and they'll give you a free gift that's going to explain in more detail what you've done, and we want to walk alongside you. Church, we're not meant to do this alone. We're not meant to be alone. So what I'd like to do, And what I felt, and I think we heard it in the prophetic word and what we heard it in the worship, is God is going to shift your circumstance. There's people right now that your season is about to shift. There's people, you feel like you've been in a winter season. It's been cold and you've been preparing for a long time. You see, like I said, they were rowing for hours. Where are you, God? But Jesus is saying, I'm here. I'm going to open the altar and I'm going to begin to release some prophetic words that I believe God is speaking to. But as I speak them, I want you to be brave and I want you to come forward. What did I say? To change the circumstance. If you're going through hell, the way you get out is one step at a time. Let your feet lead you to the front. Don't lose your focus. Don't focus on the people around you, what they might think, what they might say. Jesus is here. He wants to meet with you today. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come up. But if you feel like you have been in a situation that where disappointment and discouragement have happened to you in your life and you're feeling held back because of that, I want you to come forward today because God is going to break it off of your life. If you just feel like I'm tired and I've been rowing and rowing and rowing, I'm in the middle of a storm and I don't even know where it began because it happened so long ago, I want you to come forward for your suddenly. Don't leave the same. Don't leave the same. You know, there's people here today where you have your children who are not serving the Lord in the way you'd want them to do. Let's make today that immediately. Save them, Jesus. I'm not the Savior, but you are. So you might just be standing in the gap. There's people, you're in the midst of a storm right now. There's people, you have financial storms. God, there's people you've been looking for a job for a long time. Today's your immediately. I want to hear the testimony of you getting a job. Holy Spirit, wow. The Holy Spirit is moving, church. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's people who have suffered the disappointment of a marriage breakup. The dream of that you thought had been dead. But God says, come. I'm going to meet you here. We're going to minister to that. There's people here. There's ministry disappointments. Words were spoken over your life. Prophecies were spoken over your life. And they haven't come to pass yet. And you're like, God, maybe I just missed it. Maybe I missed a mistake. And God is saying, no. You're coming into your season. You're coming into your time. But I want to tell you this, church. Tick, tock. Tick, tock. Who can stop time? Who can stop time? I really strongly felt God was saying, time is running out. We don't know when the end is. You don't know when your end is. But you need to be present in your present. You need to do what God is calling you to do in this season. There are some people here, you feel like you're in the latter part of your life and you feel like you're almost useless. God has wanted to say to you, that's a lie. You're coming into a season of harvest. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I believe that there are people who have just been going through seasons of sickness and disease. And it's been debilitating for you. I just feel that God is healing arthritis right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, go. Be healed in Jesus' name. Lupus, be healed in Jesus' name. Fibromyalgia, be healed in Jesus' name. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. There's somebody here, you have a problem with your right knee and it's affecting the way that you move. Be healed in Jesus' name. There's somebody here, you have a broken heart. I don't know where it came from, but God does. It says in the Bible that He mends the brokenhearted. be healed in Jesus' name. There are some things that are very sensitive in nature. Situations and stuff that have happened to you when you were little. Oh. And they're stopping you from coming, from moving forward in the season and the greatness of the calling of God has on your life. Come forward and just be healed. Nobody's going to embarrass you. There's some people here today, you're sinking. Don't let pride hold you back. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop there. I'm going to let Andrew just pray, but I'm going to ask you to come. As the music is playing, come. Call to Jesus. He's there. He's made a way. He's laid it out today. Let today be the day of your suddenly. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this time together, for this season that we've been in this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you just continue to minister to us as a congregation. And you'd bless, Lord, this word, and you'd bring fruit from it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you thanks for what you've done for us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.